Welcome to Winning Mood, short, sharp, stronger super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn from the Tripod, 7 years and counting of free winning tips. And he's Tim Moody, the 2021 super coach champion. Probably not going to be the 2022 super coach champion. I thought, Tim, we might as well just pull the Band-Aid off, tell people what you're coming now, and share your soul. Just tell us how you're feeling and share the emotions with us after a tough week or a tough couple of weeks for you.
I will say, as the head coach of the Villi Army, only myself will be the person to ride me off. The more that ride me off makes me want to come out of nowhere and take over. So, look, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I also got a message from the 2019 champion, Desi Creek, throughout the week and goes, "Oh, you're not going to win this year." And I'm thinking, thanks for the information, man. I'm well aware of my situation, but look, we'll see. Look, I might shake things up. We'll see what happens. But yeah, look, after last week, it was pretty rough. I've had a tough fortnight. Obviously, 2 weeks ago, Captain Drinkwater, who was the lowest scoring player in my side. And I've backed that up with captaining Cleary last week, who was the lowest scoring player in my side. He's gone down for the year. I paired that up with Mitchell Moses breaking his finger, and he's also out for a reported 4 weeks. I have read today elsewhere that maybe only 2 weeks now after a good surgery. So we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll tape that up, and that could be, you know, a player I really, really need. So, yeah, I'm pretty thin. We've got, Cleary was the captain there. It was a pretty decent score.
So Moses 76 isn't that bad.
Sorry, I missed that.
Moses 76, that doesn't seem too bad.
No, that's not too bad. Unfortunately, I did not play him at all. So, I didn't get to take his points before he broke his finger. But I'm pretty happy with how the team performed outside of Cleary, because I managed to beat quite a lot of other good super coach sides who didn't captain Cleary. So the rest of the side sort of went fairly well. I only dropped one rank last week. I was 54th going into the round, and now I'm 55th.
Seriously?
So not too much damage in the ranks, but yeah, it was a missed opportunity last week. If I had have, had the kahunas, I guess, to get on Drinkwater, double down and captain him again, it would have been quite an opportunity with, you know, not having.
And that is pretty cruel, because you were onto the Drinkwater train and that was a good call. You picked him up. And then he had a shocker, Barry Crocker, by his own admission, the week that you brought him in, which you knew would be a decisive week. That was right after everyone was scrambling to cover for Pappenhausen. And then a week or so later, he really shines, had his best game. And, you know, if I had been able to advise you, we did really like Parramatta. So maybe I could have said Cleary might not excel, but nobody can predict what happened, you know, in the 19th minute of that game. That's brutal. I'm actually astounded, and maybe I shouldn't have written you off. I'm astounded, and if you guys can hear crying in the background or whimpering, that could be Tim still recovering. But you captained Cleary. People just saw his score. He got 4, so that's an unmitigated disaster. I'm not saying this to rub it in. I'm saying this to just emphasize how massive that is. And you only dropped one spot in the overall rankings when everyone else who's ranked that low has a really gun team. So that's crazy, and that almost must hurt to think like how much you would have climbed, you know, had things turned out differently. But that is how it goes. Obviously, you can't predict the future. But
just to sort of put it all into shape, 2 weeks ago, if I didn't captain Drinkwater and I captained Tedesco like majority of people, I would have been in the top 10. If I faded Cleary this week and, you know, did end up going with the Drinkwater, who I was pretty keen on over these three-week period, who knows what it would have been? I haven't wanted to calculate it from there. But, look, we can't worry about what could have been, because everyone would have had plenty of what could have beens.
And in fairness, most other players had Cleary. So it doubly hurt you because it was your captain.
What hurt the most was the fact that I didn't take him necessarily because I thought he'd be the highest scoring player of the round. I took him because I thought it was a safe play.
Safe.
I know that Power have got a good, yeah. I thought Power have a decent matchup for Penrith, and it can be hard for Penrith to beat them at the best of times. But I still thought he's good for a 70 at least, and which I would have taken. But, that was just.
And Paul saying the same thing, like you can't complain about having Cleary, but it's the choice to captain him. Because, you know, if you captain somebody else that scored 100, you know, you did 200 points to the better. So
having only two trades left and having Cleary and Moses both go down, it's a bit of a hit for myself. But, yeah, so have to tiptoe around the rest of the season.
Oh, mate, you like to still be, you know, nearly top 50 and you've had some catastrophe strike recently. That still shows how elite your team is and how valuable your information and your insights are. So you're right. Let's look ahead. Round 21 coming up. Do we want to do red light, green light? And you can talk us through a bit of squad game and who should we be looking at and who should we be steering clear of?
Okay. It's probably not news to anyone, but Nathan Cleary is out for 5 weeks. So he's a definite sell. Unfortunately, he doesn't hold a great deal of value compared to what he normally does. He's only at 690-ish. I think I've sold him since, so I can't see his price at the moment. But yeah, it's not great news. The most obvious green light to bring him in, if you don't have him already, which someone I need to bring back into my side, is Nico Hines. The draw he's got over the next, 5 weeks is incredible, but four of the games particularly are just out of this world. He's got the Dragons, the Tigers, Manly, which I'd consider the tough game for him, and the Sharks.
But who knows what state they'll be in.
Exactly. And then backing that up with the Doggies and the Knights as well. So there's some just killer games. I think the best probably couple of teams you'd want to come up against. And, yeah, anything could happen for the Sharks. So I'd even say green lights as well. If you sold Talakai and you've got trades, I'd be getting him back in. I've got Ronaldo Mulitalo. I think he's a key thing. You'd probably want to get on him. I like any Sharks player at the moment. I was looking at thinking, is there a way I could do Matty Moylan, even just be a massive pod guy? But I think he could kill it as well. He's been scoring okay. But the thing is, who are we going to replace Cleary with? That's the most important red light, green light. Most people have Hines. So the next thing people are talking about are DCE and Hughes. I feel like you could fade these guys. I feel like you could pot up a bit. On the other podcasts throughout the week, I've been sort of talking about maybe a Sam Walker or a Sean O'Sutherland. Have tougher draws, both of those players. But I just feel like they are a bit more pottish. If you do have the flexibility to move Hines from your fullback, from your halfback spot down to fullback, from your fullback up to your halfback, that allows you to then bring in a fullback for Nathan Cleary. So if you don't have Latrell Mitchell, particularly in this game, this round, I think he's going to kill it. You could bring him in. If you don't have Teddy, do that. There's a lot of players there's a lot of pods that people are talking about. So that's important for red light, green light. Let's talk about those. Players like Dewey, I think he's a really great option. He killed it last week, which surprised me. I didn't think he'd go as well as he did. This week, I think he's going to go nuts. There's some nice games he's got. The draw's not that fantastic because the Tigers are the Tigers. But with Brooksy being, out of the frame, Hastings injured, I see him touching the ball a lot, And that Jock Madden looks all right and accompanied him pretty well. So I do really like him. Val Holmes is not a pot anymore. But if you don't have him, probably need to get on him. I think he's just scoring points too easily. 89, I don't know how he got that last week. Other players that I think that are quite pottish that I do really like outside of that are probably it's a bit of a smoky and it's really trust your gut on it, but Nofaluma. I can just see him in a gun side having, being desperate to have like that sort of opportunity and really wanting to impress a good club and play his best footy. And I can just picture him going over try after try after try. So if you want a real pottish player, probably take a risk on him. Hey, I don't have the trades to do it. My one green light for this week is going to be Nico Hines in for Cleary. And hopefully Moses can come back for me later. I'm just going to use my other trade to just deal with the carnage that's to come because there's going to be plenty of it.
I want to ask maybe we spend a minute or two on trade theory. Because on one hand is you don't want to die with them. You want to utilize them earlier to get more points. On the other hand, you leave yourself very vulnerable, not having any, up your sleeve as the season goes on. But can I throw a pod at you then? Halfbacks. Yes. People need someone to replace Cleary. And maybe you're at a position in the standings where you want to go for it, kind of an all or nothing. What about a guy who plays on a team that has a pretty good draw, tough game this week, but a really good run home the final month? He plays for a side that's outside the top eight, but is making a push to get in the top eight. Do you know who I'm going to say for halfback?
Is his name Hen Bunt?
No, because I think that ship has sailed. His name is Famal Jogarty, if you want to put it that way.
Oh, Famal Jogarty.
This guy. You tell me. Or does he not
score enough? Jogarty, that's perfect.
Does he not put enough? Does he not stuff the stat sheet enough? But that just comes to mind. A player, and I don't mind the Sam Walker pick either. But I just, when I compare those two sides, the Raiders I project to be favourite in every game for the rest of the season after this weekend. And this weekend they play a Panthers side without their two gun halves. They have a chance as well, although personally I'll pick Penrith, so maybe you wait a week. But I just thought I'd throw that name out there.
I don't mind it, man. I definitely don't mind. I'm not going to say don't, no, to anyone who's even considering it. So if you're thinking about it, do it. I don't love it. I just feel like the Raiders, they just play a very different style of footy to a lot of different clubs, you know what I mean? They're very sort of through the middle with the big guys. Jackie Boy can be commanding a lot of ball as well. I just feel like there are better options outside of him. But if with the draw, if you want to go for a real smoky pod that not many will jump on, then yeah, he's definitely a shout.
Possibility. And he kicks goals as well. That's what made me think of it. Same as someone else has commented, Jake Arthur. That you know, it makes sense as well. Ilias. But I just think those teams have tougher draws.
Especially yeah, and if there's you're a potential right. that Moses might only be out for 2 weeks, so you'd only get him for 2 weeks, which would be a bit of a waste.
That's a good point. And, yeah, and I think you make a really key point that it seems to be the players that put up a lot of stats, they usually the dominant half on their side, whether they do play 5-8 or half-back. So some of these more so game manager type halves, which is what Jake Arthur would be asked to do or probably more like what Ilias is. Even if their team's going well, they're not necessarily all scoring too highly. What else has been a topic of conversation on the shows that you've been on this week?
Probably Tarpany and Nanai have been really hot on people's lips. Tarpany's been super consistent since, I think, about the first bye. He's just been killing it, absolutely killing it since then. I don't mind it. If you've already got two gun props in there, do it. If you want to upgrade Max King, go for it. Depends how many trades you got. I don't think it's necessary. I'm going to not be able to get him in for my side. I'd love to have him, but I still feel like I can do all right without him. Nanai.
And I think you mentioned Tapanay last week if people wanted to upgrade at front row and he had another stormer of a game.
Oh, so, he'll keep doing it.
And Nanai, he is just ridiculous. What a freakish talent. I cannot believe this kid is 19 years old.
He's very confident at the moment. I think that little sort of origin addition sort of helped him. And, yeah, like it just seems like there's some sort of kinetic energy between him and the ball and they just find each other no matter what happens. He's expensive as though. Like you're paying absolute big money for him. If you think he can keep scoring that, it just hurts because if he doesn't score a couple of tries, he does have a low scoring in with low base scoring. You know, he could score your sub-50s. But you've got to trust your gut on it. If he's that one guy you think, oh, I want to get him in for the finals and not many people might have him. He's a big pod too, not, you know, so you just got to pay that price.
I'm surprised by that. I thought most people would have Nanai.
People sort of got off him though because of the fact that he was popular for a while, then he peaked in price and then wasn't scoring the tries again. And then obviously the origin. So people starting to, you know, sell him for other sort of players and stuff like
it's
that.
It's funny because I remember us discussing him in the first month of the season and he, you know, he was scoring like a try a game. But we're saying like that's not sustainable, you know. If there's a game where he's, you know, catches two bombs and scores, he just can't repeat that every week. But, I mean, fairness, he's got 15 tries.
What has he scored now? 15? So
yeah, and it's the second most tries ever by a second row, I think only to Menzies. We had some ridiculous numbers.
I've got
in the
a 20s. Gut feeling he's going to finish on 18. That's just my weird gut feeling. So he's got at least three more for the season. but maybe he'll get more. He might score more in the finals. Obviously, I'm talking about regulation sort of season, but
And we do like the Cowboys this weekend. One of our best bets is -9.5 for the Cowboys who play Canterbury in Bundaberg. Don't be fooled by, I guess, the fixture list, which will show Canterbury the home side, but that's a neutral venue. That's going to favour the Cows. That's good news for your Drinkwater, you know, your fullback option there as well, I think. And, you know, we tipped that, you know, hour and a half ago. And I think that line's already moved to 10.5. So I will give the pod a bit of a spruik that we've been on a really good run the last 3 weeks, three strong winning weeks. And we've shared some best bets, which I'm happy to touch on quickly here. But I will let people know too, you can win a jersey just by commenting who will score the last try in that game. You spoke about West Tigers who host the Knights, and you talk about what Dewey has done in recent weeks when the Tigers have been a very significant underdog. Well, this would be the first time this season the Tigers would be anything like a 6.5-point favourite. So you definitely expect, and as you mentioned, no Hastings, no Brooks, it's going to go through Dewey, and he's an incredible touch. He played so well, leading his team to victory at Suncorp Stadium, a really costly loss for Brisbane, I feel. So have a comment, last try scorer, a minute you think they'll score, Tigers Knights, closest wins a jersey every single week on this show or on the tripod. Tim, I'm going to bring up our 2 out of 3 ain't bad anytime try scorers, and you can run the people through it.
All right, so we're on sort of a bit more of a sure thing this week compared to the summer juicier odds we've been having in the past. We've got Latrell Mitchell. I think for me, he was my pick. The other two are Jake's. I'm really keen on Latrell. After missing 3 field goals for his side last week and, you know, missing that win, I feel like he's a really big bounce back sort of player, Latrell. And I think that'll come in the way of running the ball, scoring tries himself. So Connor Tracy's just a really good option as well. You've selected him. I think he's just probably a better price and the option I wanted to go in Mulitalo.
I mean,
look how speedy he is. I didn't realize how fast he was when he scored that try. I think it was last week. He just looked like a little jackrabbit. And then Murray Tuilagi. He didn't get one over for us last week, but he's certainly overdue. And I mean, who's he run at? The Fox or Carraz?
He'll be up against the Fox, I believe. So I feel like he could overpower him there. But you're right. Like, don't overthink it. Like, the Souths are going to win well. They're another one of our best bets this weekend. They're playing Saturday afternoon against the Warriors side. You don't know what you're going to get. Latrell's the best player in the competition right now. It's, you know, 50-50, will he score or not? I say he will. And then you got Tracy on the wing for the Sharks. And we've also tipped as a best bet Sharks to score or to outscore the Dragons by 2 tries or more. So the handicap is 1.5 tries. So you're taking a Sharks winger. They know how to finish these tries off. They're in great form. And then Taulagi, I feel like we've had him a few times this season. You're just trying to get on the back of that Cowboys side. And he is obviously out there on the left wing. And when they sweep right to left, he's a great finisher as well. So I think people have questioned this before, how is $2 good odds? But if you have 3 picks and you feel they're all better than 50-50, then you're a better than 50-50 chance to win that. So if you're a better than 50-50 chance to get 2 out of 3, then $2 is a good price. Simple as that. And I'm trying to think if we've got any other best bets that I haven't touched on, but I think I said...
I like your mixed matchup this week. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, so that is also South Sydney, and it's just South Sydney first half points to score more than Dragons for the whole game. They could both be in the range of 2 to 3 tries, but we're a $2.55 underdog as well on that. And the other side I thought I'd mention and get your thoughts, a really intriguing match Friday night, Parramatta Manly. And we're going Parramatta plus half a try handicap. So to win or keep it very close. You got thoughts on that, whether it's super coach or outcome related?
Really dependent on how Manly come out. Do they come out together as a team unified and all want to play to fight for the rest, you know, their season? Or is there, you know, a bit of divide and, you know, that's really felt and I'm not too sure. Mitch Moses being out and Brad Arthur's, you know, sort of trying to steer that ship. I really feel affects, the quality of the Eels footy. So that's really hard to pick. I'd kind of lean a little bit towards Manly myself and I hate to fade you on that one, but yeah, I don't know. Just maybe it's because as a Penrith supporter, I didn't like getting beat by Parra last weekend.
No, that's fair enough. And lots of people feel that way. And that's why Manly are favourites. And the way I see it is if they both come out guns blazing, I'm happy with plus half a try. Maybe Parra doesn't even win the game and it could still be tied. But you hit the nail on the head there. We don't know what we're getting out of Manly at this point in time. And so you've got uncertainty that if you back against Manly, could be in your favour. And if they come out and they're all united and they put the pass behind them and the squad is desperate to fight for their season, it'll be a tough one. But still, Parramatta, outside of Jacob Arthur, is a pretty strong outfit. You experienced that firsthand. Obviously, the send-off went a long way towards the result. But Parramatta, I think right now, need to back up a good performance, something they haven't done for a long time. Well, they haven't done many times this season. Hopefully, you guys have been happy with our performance tonight. Good luck if you're jumping on our winning mood 2 or 3. Always gamble responsibly. Let us know your thoughts or any questions you've got in the comments. We hope you have a great weekend and we hope
head-to-head
we put you
finals
in
too.
A winning mood. Oh, yeah. If anyone's in the head-to-heads, best of luck as well. Kill it. We hope we put you in a winning mood.